to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. My goodness, did I miss you all weekend long. This is your home for common sense conservative values. And if you are just stumbling upon us for the first time, give us a try. Hang out with us for about a half hour. See what you think, because I think you're going to hang longer than that. We do 15 hours of broadcasting fabulosity every week, and we invite you in to our kitchen table. We say, hey, bring up a chair. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about what's going on, because we have a lot of work to do in this country. And we chip away at it day by day here on the Wendy Bell radio program. So if you're new, as I said, welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. So I had a soccer extravaganza over the week. We had a 5+ hour drive after work on Friday to Delaware, from Pennsylvania to Delaware. It's a beautiful drive. I don't know why we can't play soccer like in our time zone. I don't know why we can't be in our hemisphere, but it seems like we've got to play all these other places. And I feel only slightly less bad than the team that came 8 hours away to play in this thing. Like, what? Now, it'd be one thing if I could tell you that my sons were, I mean, they're these really rock star going pro athletes. I mean, they've got all these prospects looking into college. That's not who it is. That's not what's going on here. This is basically a bunch of parents who like going out of town to drink together, whose kids happen to also play soccer. If we're going to be honest about what we're doing here. But what's really interesting is that when my twins started playing in this elite league, it was beyond high school, and we really wanted them to get away from the progressive Marxist, socialist, communist, wacko local community soccer we had, where you couldn't call a child out by their name because you didn't want to single anybody out. So you could call them from the team color, go orange. It was so dumb. And it was where bad parenting thrived. So my husband Joe and I were like, we need to get them into something a little bit more competitive. Get them going a little bit more. See what we can do with these boys. Get them off their phones. Get them running around. Meet new people. So there was this elite academy from Europe that opened up some of these super cool academies in the United States. And one of them happened to have a chapter in our community. So we heard through the grapevine. We said, all right, let's get the boys to try out. I was on pins and needles. Like, you either make it or you don't. It's elite. If you're not considered elitable, I guess, you wouldn't make it. My kids made it. And I was like, huh. And it was really great for about a year. It was super intense. Super intense coaches. The practice was intense. The play was intense. Some kids, one of mine, didn't play a whole lot. That's the way it goes. It's not everybody gets to play. We are here to be the best we can be, to grow as a team, as individuals, and to freaking win, right? And then everything went sideways. And then the league grew so fast, and they let all sorts of people join. And many of the kids are not elite players. And I could argue my kids would be among them. Became a moneymaker, right? And so now we go to all of these tournaments around our section of the United States. And while I'm pleased to do it, it's very frustrating to watch the coaching. As parents, right? I'm not out there giving my time. I'm not volunteering. He's getting paid, not a whole lot. It's hard to throw stones when somebody is giving of their time. But when it's not terribly effective, and you see the same mistakes being made again and again, to the point that the other parents on the other teams identify what's going on, and nobody says anything about it. And so the situation never changes. It gets really frustrating. And I'm standing here on the sidelines over the weekend in freaking Delaware, right? And I'm watching this. And it's such a microcosm of what is going on our country. You've got two teams on the pitch. Both want their respective side to win. They have to work as a team, but individually have their own skills. They are coached by a team leader. And then there's the Justice Department, which is your referee system, right? And you get good ones, you get lousy ones, and you're kind of stuck dealing with what you get. But every single tournament, every single game, we mumble and grumble on the sidelines. Why aren't we playing this way? Why aren't we doing this thing? Can't they see that such and such? Why is all... And it's the same story, but nobody has gone to the coach and say, hey, what are we doing here? Are we trying to win? Or is this just a way for kids to run around outside and be off of their phones? Because if that's what it is, it's not an elite academy. And then we need to reevaluate what we're doing. We got a lot of that going on in this country. You and I are sitting back like in the stands because we're not connected, right? We don't have real skin in the game, except we're the ones who are paying for the membership. We're constantly disappointed. There's people on both sides who take cheap shots. Some dive, some fake injuries. Some are just awful, right? And we just have to sit there and watch it. And yet nobody's really doing anything to change it. I'm sitting there in the sunshine, like my fists clenched, not because of what's going on the pitch. Like the score to me is totally irrelevant. But I see this, I'm looking down on it, and I'm like, this is America right now. Ostensibly, based on how we vote, each of us belongs to one team or another. But does anybody really feel like their respective coaches are leading an effective strategy? Is this something that's going to be good for everybody, not just the winning team that gets the trophy? Is it something that we all can get behind? Absolutely not. So how long do you sit in the stands and mumble and bitch and moan about how this is wrong and that is wrong? But you've got to take action, right? We have to look in the mirror and say, we have to demand changes. We have to express ourselves. And our elected leaders, ladies and gentlemen, are not representing us. Another $60 billion to Ukraine. More shenanigans, more House Republicans voting in ways that slap you and myself and everybody in this country in the face. It's anti-Team USA again and again and again. And there's some really dirty people playing this game. I want you to hear one of them. This is a guy who hopes to be a congressman from New York's 26th congressional district. This is Western New York, parts of Erie, and where else? Niagara counties. His name is Nate McMurray. This is a guy who wants to get on the team. He wants to be on the pitch. He's one of the guys who slide tackles with the spikes up. This is what he had to say over the weekend after tweeting out, "Die, MAGA, die," and allowing his post on Twitter to survive. It stayed up there. Listen to this congressional candidate who wants to represent the people of the failed state of New York, Nate McMurray. Listen.
This morning, Trump is old. He's going to die. And a lot of these MAGA people, they ain't young. And there's way more of us than them.
Okay, what do you make of that? That is vile. This Democratic congressional candidate now, obviously in hot water for saying that. Look, I look at the kids on the pitch. I don't wish the other team to get injured. I don't look at their coach and I say, gosh, I hope he has a massive stroke. I don't think those things. I want it to be good. I want it to be hard fought. I want it to be fair. And I want my kids to learn how to win and to lose with grace and with dignity. How on earth can we expect our children how to behave as adults when there don't seem to be any adults in the room? To this Nate McMurray fellow, die, MAGA, die. Well, sir, you have a D after your name, and we were under the impression that you guys were the party of inclusion, of equity, of equality, of justice, of fairness, of goodness, of root causes, of humane treatment. Die, MAGA, die. And we're expected to work with clowns such as that, right? So my question now, we're on the stands. I'm feeling it's time to storm the field and reclaim what is rightfully ours. That we will endeavor to accomplish in the next 3 hours, my friends. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, I gotta read this to you. We've talked to you about the NPR nightmare, their wacko new CEO. Little revolt in NPR's newsroom. I'm going to bring it to you right after this on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So, I really do try. This is how I felt about Delaware, right? And I'm gonna tick some people off who are from Delaware. I don't care. I had a bad experience in Delaware. Had nothing to do with the game. Kids were wonderful. Other teams, fantastic. Officiating, it's hit or miss. It is what it is. And you go with it. You get what you get, and you can't get upset, right? But the entirety of my time in Delaware, it was just oppressive. This is how I said to my husband in the car as we're leaving, I'm like, look, I feel like I'm being super unfair. So let's walk through what we liked about Delaware. Crickets later, I got nothing. This is how I feel about what's going on the left, by and large, where you have people running for office who believe it's completely reasonable for their childish and really volatile, vile rhetoric. Die, MAGA, die. Can you imagine if Donald Trump put out on Truth Social, die, Democrats, die? Can you imagine? These are the childish morons we have to deal with, who don't understand that the bigger picture is what we're fighting for. See, we're not fighting for abortion, against abortion. We're not fighting for this. We're fighting for that. We're fighting for the whole thing. America, it's survival. Yours and mine. Not just our team, not just our players, but everybody. This has gotten really pathetic. And I see headlines like this. This is from Fox. 50 NPR employees demand CEO Catherine Marr and the editor-in-chief publicly rebuke factual inaccuracies. These people are so butthurt over what a guy who's been an editor at NPR said. After working there for 25 years, he noticed something. He was in the stands and he was looking down at the pitch and he was like, you know what? That's very interesting. And he started researching and he's like, there are 87 editors here at NPR and not a single one of us is a registered Republican. That is a problem. And he spoke up about it and they went nutty. Now you have 50 crybaby leftists. These are people who demand your attention, who want the journalistic accolades of being with an organization that sucks. They are so desperate to create the illusion of journalistic integrity, that once this fellow, Yuri Berliner, spoke up and said, We have failed the people who have come to this news outlet. We have failed them, and we have been failing them for years. And not only should we want better for the people who pay attention to us, we should demand it for ourselves. 50 NPR employees losing their collective minds. A group of these employees Wednesday signed a letter. Why don't you just do your jobs? Signed a letter demanding that NPR's new CEO, Catherine Marr, wackadoodle, and editor-in-chief Edith Chapin publicly rebuke the, quote, factual inaccuracies and whatever illusions in former editor Uri Berliner's essay, which called out the outlet's liberal bias. See, you're not allowed to deviate. If you're a part of the left, you can't meander off the reservation. You can't think for yourself. You can't have a different viewpoint. You can't believe something that's different from what they're pushing. Because if you are, it's knives out. If you are, it's the students with torches walking to your house to bully you. That's not America. What's going on these elite campuses? What's going on in the NPR quote-unquote newsroom? What's happening in Congress? It's not sustainable. This cannot be a pitchfork, burn it down kind of thing. But what do you do when you go out to play the game and the other team will do anything? They will cheat. They will hurt you. They will rig it. They'll bribe the referees. They'll blackmail the coach. They'll do whatever they need to do to win, because that is all that matters. Because that, I believe, is where we are. We're writing to urge stronger support for staff who have had their journalistic expertise called into question by one of their own in a public forum. These are a bunch of crybaby, namby-pamby children. My feelings got hurt. How about instead of being hurt, go do a better job? Go enterprise some reporting. Go move the needle. Go tell the truth. Have an idea. Think about a question. Go after it. And try not to be biased. Is that so freaking hard? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is that hard. And that's the conundrum I find myself in, right? We have 212, 13, whatever it is, Republicans. Whatever the number is. And half continually deviate from what we believe is the right play for all of America. How do you get your team on track? How do you find the right coach? I think we have them. But what do you do? That is going to be the story today, as we search desperately for anyone who is a grown-up to show up, to be in the room, because we're woefully lacking that. And our kids, when they look up at the stands and they see us fighting, acting like children, good grief. What role models? When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this, scary as nuts. The plot to kill Donald Trump. Yes. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So I'm on the soccer field. It's a nice day to be, I guess, in Delaware. Over the weekend, Dover, Delaware. Yeah. And Brock texts me. My phone goes bing. So I look down. And here's this alert. Democrats are floating something to pull Donald Trump's Secret Service detail from him should he be convicted of a crime. Donald Trump, who right now is going to be in day one of the actual trial itself. This is the hush money trial. This is the hush money trial in which it is alleged that Donald Trump back in the early 2000s was sleeping with or slept with Stormy Daniels. A quote unquote affair both have denied, but whose salacious content has been so irresistible for those who are deranged and will stop at nothing to stop Donald Trump. So they gin up this payment that Michael Cohen, working as an attorney for Trump on retainer, had made many, many, many years ago to Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels. And then that payment was it created the illusion of some kind of a hush money payment. Here's $130,000. He's running for president. We need you to go away. And the allegation is, of course, even though Donald Trump never paid the money, never authorized the money, didn't know about the money, was not connected to the money, he apparently authorized some bookkeeping shenanigans to hide said six-figure payment to a woman he did not sleep with who admits she never slept with him. Other than that, I got nothing, right? And you think he's going to have in Manhattan, in a zip code, 87% Democrat, in a jury pool, and a judge who we know as a Democrat donor, whose wife worked for the, DA's office? Yes. And whose daughter works on behalf of really trustworthy individuals like Adam Schiff and, you know, Kamala Harris, really upstanding, honorable Americans like that. We think Donald Trump will receive a fair trial and a fair judgment. There's nothing that's been fair. Everything that's been unfair, this man has had to walk through like oatmeal, right? And so they're projecting to you what they want to do. And what is that? Get Donald Trump killed. And it makes me absolutely sick to say that. To suggest that Hunter Biden, a crack addict who flew hookers in from other states, which is a felony, should have Secret Service protection, but not Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or Donald Trump when they convict him of doing something he never did, making payments that he never made, and hiding said payments, which he never did because he never made the payments, didn't have to hide them, and never slept with the woman. They want him thrown away and Jeffrey Epstein. And you might say to yourself, Wow, she's got some pretty big ideas. How else do you look at this? I actually have the legislation from the Committee on Homeland Security. And I printed it out and I wanted to read it to you because this is what Democrats are working to do. They're not working to close the border. They're not looking to figure out the whole fentanyl crisis. They're not working on inflation. They're not worrying about Chinese infiltration at the southern border. They're not wondering about spy balloons. They're not looking at anything that is beneficial to you and to me. They're looking at whatever they can do to put Donald Trump in the crosshairs of a lunatic. Here's what it says. This will get you going. It's called H.R. 8081. And what a cute little acronym, Benny Thompson. This guy is the biggest clod. Next to, what's his face, Hank Johnson? Benny Thompson, who thought, of course, that Guam was going to capsize. We've got this rock star, Benny Thompson, the walrus, talking to us about right and wrong. Ranking Member Thompson introduces legislation to ensure no Secret Service protection for convicted felons sentenced to prison. See, that's how they get around the whole Hunter Biden, Joe Biden thing, right? You've got to go, you have to be convicted, and you have to be sentenced to prison. Today, Representative Benny G. Thompson, ranking member of the Committee on Homeland Security, introduced, here's your acronym, you ready? It's called DISGRACED. The Disgraced Act. They're telling you that Donald Trump is a disgrace. Damn him. He decided to put his entire life on hold. He decided to walk into the fires of hell. He decided to lose God knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars to step away from his individual businesses and take a job for free to be the whipping boy of everyone who's a deranged leftist. He's arch enemy number one. It's called denying infinite security and government resources allocated toward convicted and extremely dishonorable former Protectees Act. If brevity is the soul of wit, Benny Thompson is the dumbest person right now that we're talking about. Guilty as charged. This legislation would reform the U.S. Secret Service's protective mission by automatically terminating Secret Service protection for those who have been sentenced to prison following conviction for a federal or state felony. Well, where are the Clintons? Where is the laundry list of dead bodies in their wake? It seems like anybody who crosses the Clintons ends up paddleboarding dead, or rather naked, and then dead, right? Because I don't know about you, when I'm ready to go out and get some exercise, I love to do it without any clothes on, right? This is all about taking out Donald Trump. Everybody who's being intellectually honest knows damn well what it is. This is dirty. This is dangerous. And it's so, so predictable, to quote Rush. So, so predictable. What did they do with E. Jean Carroll? Could you choose like the worst people to accuse Donald Trump of anything? A woman who's clearly a wacko, who seems to remember verbatim conversations ad nauseum with Donald Trump 30 odd years ago, who thinks rape is sexy. They changed the statute. They changed the law in New York so that she can file before the window of opportunity closes. She can file a lawsuit against Donald Trump for something he says, again, never happened. I have no idea who she is. I have no idea what she's talking about. And I can tell you without equivocation or hesitation, there ain't a snowball's chance in hell I had sex with her in a department store dressing room. They want Donald Trump out. They thought they could do it with insurrection. They thought they could do it by rigging an election. They thought they could do it with COVID. They thought they could do it with everything. And he's come back again and again and again, more popular, more everything, and they can't stand it. So I want to ask you about this. In America today, when you have a modern Democratic Party and you got a lot of rhinos on the right who are hook, line, and sinker with them as the Uniparty, proposing that Donald Trump, should he be convicted and sentenced to prison, which clearly is all they're after, forget about the allegations, forget about the proof, forget about the law, forget about common sense, forget about being obviously deranged lunatics. They realize the only way to stop him is to take him out. This is the congressional candidate from New York, Nate McMurray. Donald Trump's old. He's gonna die. And we got a lot more people on our team who are young and angry and activated. Good luck with that, MAGA. Ew! Ew! I want to read you more of this. The disgraced former Protectees Act would terminate Secret Service protection for individuals, Trump, who otherwise qualify for it upon sentencing following conviction for a federal or state felony. Huh, isn't that interesting? Under current law, Secret Service protection is authorized for some current and former high-level officials and their immediate families. Current law does not contemplate how such protection would occur or whether it should occur if a protectee is sentenced to prison following conviction for a felony. As a result, current law may serve as an impediment to the equal administration of justice and present logistical difficulties for both the Secret Service and prison authorities at the federal and state levels. Code 4, we can't knock him off if he's got Secret Service detail. And it's not enough for the guards to fall asleep and for the equipment to malfunction and for there reportedly to be like 37 different kinds of sheets in that one prison cell like there were with Jeffrey Epstein. You don't think everybody knows what this is? I wonder what would happen if we go back to my original monologue analysis and opening hypothesis of this team thing, where you can be on different sides, but you agree to not sully the sport. You don't bastardize the sport. You don't try to ruin America. Well, you've got one side that wants to, and they will spark a civil war if need be. And the one thing standing in their way is the one man that they think controls all of it, but they don't understand. We survive without Donald Trump. Because, yes, we came first. I'm not so sure these people know what kind of a battle they're looking for. Because I do say they've poked the bear too many times. When we come back, it's that moment when you realize that your candidate super sucks, right? And the media can't spin their way out of it. Polling, presidential polling, not just Trump and Biden, but past presidents too. We're going to talk about it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So when you look at the pitch, right, and you're looking at the teams playing, you see a desperation on one side. There's we were in the playoff last game we were going to play. We weren't advancing. We had been clobbered in previous games. And so we were playing to basically spoil the opponent against us from advancing. So the team that would advance if we beat or prevented the team who was playing us from beating us by 4 goals. That team who would advance, if we could do that, was, of course, cheering for us, going crazy. Shared purpose, shared focus. What you've got is a team desperate to do whatever it takes to get the job done. Benny Thompson is telling you they are so desperate, they will resort to anything to stop Donald Trump and MAGA. And the media are telling you the why. Got a couple audio sound bites here. My boyfriend, flapping his arms, Harry Enten with CNN. I love this because he is super enthusiastic always, loves his data crunching. And he's talking about this new polling in the battleground states, specifically in Michigan, is really, really bad for the Democrats. And in this particular audio soundbite, he's standing at his monitor and he's like, you know what? There's some trending for Donald Trump. And his trending is consistently, month after month, he's trending positively, beating Joe Biden, and it's becoming a trend, and Democrats are freaking. Listen to this audio soundbite.
You know, one thing that's notable is all these states here up on the screen, in 2020, Joe Biden won Michigan by the widest margin, substantially
correct.
So.
Yeah, correct, by 3 points.
So what's happening there now?
Yeah, so what's happening here? You know, in this particular one, if we were just looking at one poll, right, and you saw, okay, Donald Trump ahead by 3 points, that's well within the margin of error. But I want to sort of take a look here at the trend line, and that is that there really isn't much of a trend line. There's just a lot of consistency going on here. Fox, Trump plus 3. Wall Street Journal, Trump plus 3. CNN last month, Trump plus 8. Quinnipiac, Trump plus 3 back in March. And Fox, back in February had Trump plus two. So in fact, there isn't any real trend line that we're seeing away from Donald Trump, despite what we're seeing nationally. In Michigan, we are still seeing that Joe Biden is trailing Donald Trump by a small but consistent margin. And that, of course, is very interesting because, as you pointed out, Michigan was that swing state that Joe Biden carried by the widest margin last time.
I won't be surprised to see President Biden or someone close to him nearly move to Michigan in the next several months because they absolutely need that to put together.
It's a lovely state.
They are desperate. He's disgraced. This is what they want you to believe. He is disgraced. He's a rapist. He's a misogynist. He's a pig. He hates black people. He hates Muslims. He hates the Chinese. China. He hates everybody. How could you have this monster? Well, apparently that narrative isn't really sticking. Harry Enten's second audio soundbite, the takeaway being people kind of like this guy. Go.
Talk to me about the why here. What are you seeing behind the numbers that might indicate why this is all happening?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of talk in this campaign about the lesser of two evils. I'm not quite sure that is an apt description, right? This is viewed favorably across Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. In the 2020 exit polls, what do we see? 50% of voters view Joe Biden on average favorably in those states, compared to just 45% for Donald Trump. Look at the Joe Biden trend line where he is now. Joe Biden is far less like than he was 4 years ago. Just 43% of voters now view Joe Biden favorably in these states. And Donald Trump, despite everything that has happened, is actually slightly more liked. 47% favorable rating. So this isn't just the lesser of two evils that's going on. The fact is that Donald Trump is, in fact, better liked than he was 4 years ago.
Bing, 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 bing.
Than Joe Biden is right now in these battleground states. It's pretty gosh darn clear.
Harriet, great to see you.
Thank you. It's always great to see my boyfriend, Harriet. Pretty gosh darn clear. That's a net gain for Trump since 2020. Likeability of plus nine. How is that possible? How is that possible? Remember, he's a criminal. He thinks he can do whatever he wants in a department store dressing room. He can do whatever he says he wants to do. We've got to stop him. He's terrible. Well, unfortunately, it's not working. Here's NBC Steve Kornacki. So which candidate is better? This question, which candidate do you prefer? Which is better, mentally, physically, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? It ain't even close, friends. Listen.
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
It's all troubling numbers for Biden. And finally, and I've got more of this to break out for you in a little bit. How about when you look at Joe Biden and Donald Trump and all these past presidents? How do people view them now vis-a-vis these others? Well, let's find out.
Put this in some context here. These are other recent presidents at this point in their reelection campaigns. Where were their approval ratings? Again, you see Biden's 42%. One thing that jumps out, they were all higher than Joe Biden. The other thing, the two presidents on this list who did not win reelection, of course, Donald Trump 4 years ago, he was at 46%. And back in 1992, George H.W. Bush, he was at 43%. Biden below both of those.
What?
The last time Biden's been at this level, 46%. You got to go back to the start of 2023. The last time he was higher than that, you got to go back to the summer of 2021, his first year as president. So Biden has some work to do on that front.
Yeah, Biden sucks. Handling a crisis, it's Trump by four. Strong record as president, Trump by seven. Competent and effective, Trump by nine. Necessary mental and physical health, Trump by 19. Dealing with inflation and the cost of living, Trump by 22. Come on. No wonder Benny Thompson wants him gone. when we come back. What's another $60 billion for Ukraine? I mean, it's so important, isn't it? We got to dig into this House bill, this vote, okay? Buckle up, friends. We're going to do it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.